an addition.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 36 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
Part of the mission of Kentucky State Police, especially to try to get a unit officer or trooper presence in those locations for crime deterrence and for safety of the public.
Kentucky State Police are investigating the shooting death of a Pikeville police officer.
A city councilman in Catlettsburg has been indicted for perjury.
Students traveled to Frankfort today as part of a nationwide gun violence protest.
A bill to implement harsher penalties for adults who recruit for gangs has passed a House committee.
The renovation and expansion of Moorhead State's University Center is getting closer to completion.
In sports, the state boys basketball tournament begins today in Lexington.
Bud Luke brings us the stocks.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows around freezing. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Kentucky State Police are searching for an individual who killed a Pikeville police officer Tuesday night. Officers Scotty Hamilton and Trooper Matt Martin were on criminal patrol on Hurricane Creek when they saw a suspicious vehicle. The officers spoke with the people in the vehicle and checked the area around a nearby building when the two were separated. KSP Trooper John Sims said in a press conference this afternoon, authorities do not have a description of the suspect.
There's no suspect that's been located at this time. Officers, investigators are currently working diligently trying to obtain information. Obviously, there will be, in the area where this tragic incident took place, trying to cultivate possible leads and information in order to locate the individual or individuals who perpetrated this deed.
Four people were arrested near the scene of the shooting on outstanding warrants. None of them have been charged in connection with Hamilton's death.
The man accused in connection with a recent shooting at the Taco Bell restaurant in Grayson has had his case bound over to a Carter County grand jury. 32-year-old Albert Callahan is charged with first-degree assault for allegedly shooting Scott Eldridge during a fight inside the restaurant. According to the Grayson Journal-Times, a city police officer testified at Callahan's hearing last Wednesday that Callahan fired four shots at Eldridge, wounding him. Security video from the restaurant also showed the brawl, which an employee tried to stop. Witnesses testified the two had exchanged words shortly before the shooting while they were driving on Carroll Malone Boulevard. Callahan, who claims that he shot Eldridge in self-defense, is being held without bond in the Carter County Detention Center.
A family in Shelbyville says a woman fatally shot her disabled granddaughter before committing suicide. Samantha Castillo tells Wave TV that her 14-year-old daughter Aurelia, who had cerebral palsy, was killed by her mother, Julia Cash Owens, who then killed herself. Shelbyville police responded to the shooting at about 2 p.m. Monday. Cash Owens was pronounced dead at the scene. The coroner said Tuesday the girl died at a hospital of a gunshot wound to the head. Authorities have not described a motive for the shootings.
A Catlettsburg councilman has been indicted for perjury. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has more.
Richard Andy Brown has been charged with perjury in the first degree, which is a Class D felony, after allegedly lying under oath during a court hearing last week. Brown was being tried for two other Class D felonies, a first-degree drug trafficking and a first-degree possession of a controlled substance. Before entering a plea agreement, Judge John Vincent asked Brown, while under oath, if he was currently under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Brown said he was not. Brown was taken to a local probation office directly after the sentencing. There he tested positive for heroin, cocaine, meth, ecstasy, and marijuana. Brown will remain a council member until he resigns or the council unanimously votes to remove him. For WMKY News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Hundreds of Kentucky high school students joined a nationwide gun violence protest today by traveling to the state capitol for a rally in frigid weather. The rally in Frankfort included a group of students from Marshall County High School, the site of the deadly school shooting in January. The students got a pass to leave school and travel more than 3 hours to the Capitol. Marshall County student Cameron King urged the demonstrators to, quote, keep screaming, keep yelling, keep fighting until you make a change because we are the change, end quote. King recalled fleeing the school during the January 23rd shooting and hiding at a car dealership. Students huddled near the front entrance of the Capitol, chanting and carrying signs that said, "Never again," and "Books, not bullets."
Kentucky lawmakers are considering a bill that would place mental health professionals in schools. Haley Hansen has more.
The proposal has support from local law enforcement officials in Marshall County, where two students were killed and more than a dozen others injured in January's Marshall County High School shooting. Supporters say the goal is to respond to stress in students' lives that could explode into violence if left unchecked. There's still no word on where the money to hire the mental health professionals would come from. The bill won approval from the House Appropriations and Revenue Committee. It now heads to the full House. I'm Haley Hansen.
House Bill 169 was passed by the House Standing Committee on Appropriations and Revenue Tuesday by a 16-3 vote. The bill would impose harsher penalties for adults who recruit individuals, including kids, for gangs. Republican Representative Robert Benvenuti tells Spectrum News the passage of the bill would significantly impact criminal activity across the state.
Passing House Bill 169 will significantly reduce the carnage and human suffering that directly flows from criminal gang activity, and criminal gangs' tentacles reach every portion of this state. If you think this is a Lexington or a Louisville-only issue, you are wrong.
Institute for Compassion in Justice Executive Director Rebecca Ballard DiLoreto spoke against the bill, saying it's more about incarceration and targeting minorities, as well as providing no rehabilitation for offenders. The bill now moves to the full House for consideration.
A proposed bill that would provide expanded benefits for the families of fallen officers stalled in committee yesterday. According to WKYT, several members of the law enforcement community are upset that House Bill 185 was not examined. They believe the committee will continue to delay consideration for the bill until Senate Bill 1 is passed. Nikolai Yalik is with the Fraternal Order of Police. He says the House Bill 185 should not be a partisan issue.
And it helps me to go to work and to go through my duties and to confront danger and do what I need to do in my job with this assumption that if something happens to me, that my wife and kids will be okay.
Officers met with lawmakers for a private discussion after the hearing, asking for their support.
A bill to reform one of the country's worst-funded public pension systems continues to lag in the Kentucky legislature. Hundreds of teachers across the Commonwealth have been rallying in Frankfort against the measure. The pension bill would temporarily cut annual cost-of-living raises for retired public school teachers to 1% from 1.5%. That, along with other changes, would save taxpayers $3.2 billion over the next 20 years, while also pledging hundreds of millions in dollars to stabilize the system. Teachers and other public workers oppose the bill, saying lawmakers should find other sources of revenue instead of relying on benefit cuts and structural changes. The pressure has made it difficult for Republican leaders to round up votes for the bill, especially in this an election year. On Friday, the Senate canceled plans to vote on the pension bill because they did not have the required votes. The slow progress has frustrated Governor Matt Bevin, along with other Republican leaders, who have just 11 legislative days left in this session. It's unclear when or if the pension bill will come up for a vote. Lawmakers have sent it back to a committee, which is supposed to meet today, but the bill is not on the agenda.
The $49 million initiative to renovate and expand Morehead State University's Student Center is nearly 80% finished. That word comes from Shayla Ring, the spokeswoman for MSU's Department of Facilities Management. According to Ring, the project at the Adron Doran University Center is right on track financially and will be done in the fall.
We are looking at, now we're kind of shifting our focus on furniture and furnishings for the project. The project itself is completely on budget, and we are so appreciative of Sherman Carter Barnhart and Monarch Construction, who have teamed up to kind of work through all of the budget constraints that we have.
In addition to gutting and renovating the entire building, crews are building a 75,000-square-foot addition on the Adux West Side. Once completed, the facility will become home to all of Morehead State's student services.
We'll be right back with local news after this quick break.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Morehead, announcing that the Round County Community Fund is now accepting proposals for projects that contribute to the improvement of Moorhead in the Round County community. To be eligible, applicants must be 501c3 tax-exempt charitable organizations, local governments, school districts, or programs sponsored by one of these organizations. Applications must be received by April 13th. More information at 859-225-3343.
The Moorhead Writing Project invites participants to find their folk on Saturday, March 24th. The event will be hosted at the Kentucky Folk Arts Center. Karen Van Kirk planned the event. The theme is folk writing, which Van Kirk says can be interpreted in a variety of ways.
It is writing about just whoever your folk happen to be. For me, I am looking at a side of my family that I have never known about before. But someone else is writing about their folk fiction characters that they are working on in a novel. So it can just run in so many different directions.
The workshops will end with a participant's reading at Coffee Tree Books. The cost for the event is $50, though scholarships are available for Moorhead State and Marshall University students. Participants must register online before March 22nd.
Summer Bryant has been named the new assistant director of the Moorhead State Talent Search Program. Bryant graduated from MSU with both Bachelor of Arts and Master of Arts degrees before working with the university for nearly 10 years. Before she accepted the position as assistant director, Bryant worked for 8 years as the academic coordinator for Educational Talent Search for TRIO. Bryant says as the assistant director, she will oversee one of two grants through the MSU Talent Search Program.
So I'll be overseeing the budget, the annual performance reporting for the Department of Education, supervising staff, training new staff, overseeing the curriculum development, overseeing our summer camp that we have for eighth graders going into ninth grade, as well as our academic team that travels through the state and then the Southern Association, Kentucky through Florida.
The Talent Search Program works with more than 1,600 high school and middle school students across 11 Kentucky counties to assure success in their post-secondary education.
A technology school could become a new regional academy, WMKY's Peyton Stewart reports.
A grant application to explore the possibility of expanding the Mason County Area Technology Center was approved during the Board of Education meeting Monday. Students from Mason, Bracken, Robertson, and Augusta Independent already utilize the Mason County Area Technology Center for some of their classes each day. However, in upgrading the tech center to an academy, some district officials want to offer all classes in that building. According to the Maysville Ledger, the Regional Career Academy is not set in stone and is only in its planning stages. The resolution to apply for the planning grant for the Career Academy will be submitted this month. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Peyton Stewart.
Flemingsburg workers will be rewarded for their length of service time. City Council has given final approval to a resolution approving an annual bonus plan for the town's employees. Mayor Marty Voyers hopes it will help Flemingsburg retain those who have diligently served Flemingsburg.
Well, that's what we would hope so. And you know, it's a way to also show our appreciation for the work that they do, but also to try to give them some incentive, yes.
Those who've worked for the city 1 to 5 years will get $100 a year. 6 to 10 years of service will result in an annual bonus of $150, with those who've worked for the town 11 to 20 years getting $200. 20-year or more employees will receive bonuses of $250. The bonus plan was first reviewed and passed by the Flemingsburg City Council last month. Taking a look at this week's weather forecast, tonight increasing clouds with lows around 32 degrees. Thursday it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 55. Thursday night it'll be mostly clear with a low around 26 degrees. Friday it's mostly sunny with a high near 49. Friday night a slight chance of showers and sleet in the early morning, mostly cloudy with a low around 35 degrees.
The time is 4:44. You are tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Cody Robinson, and thanks for joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment today, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. Continuing their conversation recorded in November of 2017, Dr. Jorge Ortega Moody explains how video game technology can be adapted and tailored for use in industrial settings, how interactive virtual reality enables online students to gain lab experience from their homes, and he describes the cost-saving benefits of virtual reality training in education and manufacturing.
I bring students from Mexico, graduate students, normally master and PhD students. In the Mexican government pays for all the expenses. So for us in our departments, it's a really good deal because it's free for us. We can bring PhD students, and then if they work together with our master students and our undergraduate student, the team gets like multidisciplinary and also multi-level. And also we start building laboratories for our department too with these kits. So we try to develop our own equipment. We're going to have a complete laboratory that our student built. My chair in the department, Dr. Sargari, started this agreement with University of Medicine and Technology in Kosovo because they want to train their students in virtual reality. They don't have that degree there.
Right.
I went in April, and then I select between 10 and 20 students. The training was here in summer in Morehead. So it was a lot of help in another right. project. So I guess it was a really good deal.
Mutually beneficial.
Yes, yes.
They get the advantage of taking back cutting-edge technology to apply to their own industrial and educational situation there.
One of the limitations that we have in universities, not only here in our department, it's around the world, especially in those countries like Kosovo, like Mexico, that the budget is a real an issue, mm-hmm. right? So just for give you an example, I'm teaching robotics, and, well, we have in our department 5 robots, but in my class I have 30 students. It's kind of difficult for all the students can, you know, take the robot and practice. So what I try to do, and I started this project last year, is to create in virtual reality robots. So now every student can have their own robots in virtual reality. They can practice, and when they are ready, then they can go to the real one and start doing the labs. There is another issue, too, that we have in engineering, is safety. And also, you have to buy material in order to manufacture in the pieces. So now with virtual reality, the student, they can learn how to use it.
Right.
Yeah, and they can use virtual material, and it's free for us.
Right.
They can play with the machine, they can touch the machine, they can push the button, they can realize how the machine is working. Actually, we create a video game. You have 2 controllers in your hands, well, one in each hand, mm-hmm. and then you have 2 sensors in front of you that track your hands and plus your head. You know, so you are full immersed in the scenario. And you can see in the virtual reality, you can see your hands, you can see your fingers, you can see the machine, you can move your head, and you can see all around you. Because it's a video game, we add sounds, for example, instructions. And then also the scenario can give you a grade, actually. How good you do the job or how
right?
bad you do the job, yeah. And the most advantage thing about this is in the future, we can collaborate different people in the same virtual scenario. As a professor, I can be in home, I can wear the glasses, and their student can be in their own home, and they can wear the glasses, and I can see them together in the same virtual scenario. The same way that the kids play Xbox,
right.
you know, they play here, and the other kid is in China, the other kid is in South America, and they're working the same video game, it's the same thing. So that gives you another flexibility to how to teach, how the teaching is going to be in the future, right? We have this advisory board, contact with industry, with companies in the region. We receive so many calls right now, and they want to introduce this technology to their process. It's exciting because these kids that are working with me in research, they can work for them after graduate.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Adrian.
You can find more of Adrian Swain's Neighbors program on our website at wmky.org. The time is 4:49, and in 30 seconds, Braxton Howard brings you sports.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located on Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, an additional green trailer rotates among Elliottville, Farmers, Hayes Crossing, and the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moreheadrecycling.org.
The Sweet 16. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The so-called greatest show in sports began earlier today in Lexington with the tip-off of the boys' Sweet 16. In afternoon action, Corbin beat Estill County 50-40. Corbin was led by senior Chandler Stewart 16 points. In a back-and-forth game, he says his team was built for situations like this.
We just had to come together and play our game. We've been in situations all season like this, and we knew what we were coming into, and we just had to be ready to pull it together right there at the end, and we're going to win this game.
The second game of the afternoon section put two of the best teams in the state up against each other, with Scott County edging out Trinity 54-53. Cooper Robb's three-pointer with 5 seconds to go gave Scott County the win. Tonight it's Southwestern against Warren Central and John Harden squaring off with Pikeville. 16th Region champions Boyd County start action in the Sweet 16 at 1:30 against Fern Creek tomorrow. Boyd coach Randy Anderson is telling his Lions to relish every moment of their time at the state finals.
Any time that I've ever been associated with a state tournament, it's those games that, I mean, they blank and they're done. And I really want our guys to cherish that. And people keep telling me, man, if you can survive the first 4 minutes, you know, you will have yourself a chance with the team that you have.
Boyd County has a 29-6 record. For the first time in Kentucky history, winners of both the Mr. Basketball and Miss Basketball awards came from the same school. Mercer County's Trayvon Faulkner and Sagan Robbins were given the awards last night in Lexington. Robbins spoke with Kentucky.com.
That's crazy. I was really proud of Trayvon. He definitely deserves that award. And I didn't know if we would both get it, but I think it's pretty crazy that we did. I'm just really happy for both of us.
Faulkner finished his career with over 3,000 points and 1,100 rebounds. He signed to play for Northern Kentucky next year. Robbins, a five-star recruit, is signed with the University of Louisville. She was the MVP of the girls' state tournament in both 2017 and 2018 after leading Mercer County to back-to-back state titles. Louisville's basketball team is now preparing for a second-round game in this year's NIT. The Cardinals came from 7 down at halftime last night to win the tournament opener against Northern Kentucky 66-58 at the Yum Center. Interim coach David Padgett says the gritty effort sent an important message to those who thought his players didn't care about playing in the NIT.
I think the way they played tonight answers any question about whether or not they were ready or interested in playing this game. I think that was pretty evident. So they've been resilient all year. They did it again today. That's just how they are as people. That's who they are as basketball players, and they show it day in and day out.
Dingadel's 20 points led Louisville last night. The Cards face Middle Tennessee on Saturday. While the Kentucky basketball team is in Boise, Idaho, preparing for its first-round game against Davidson in the NCAA tournament tomorrow, Coach John Calipari is still expressing his views on conference tournaments. After the Wildcats won the SEC tournament on Sunday, they still received a five seed in the big dance. And Cal says that is further proof conference tournaments are, quote, pointless.
It doesn't help your seed. And I'll tell you this, do you think it would hurt if we lost early? It did hurt. The year we went to the NIT, we lost that first round game. We were in the NIT. So, oh, it can hurt you, but we're not going to let it help you. Why are we doing them? I come back to that. We're going to end up, if we're lucky enough, and we get to the second round, we'd have to be lucky. That's 5 games in 8 days. It's 5 games in 8 days.
Kentucky's game against Davidson tips off tomorrow at 7:10. Tubby Smith has officially been fired as the head basketball coach at Memphis. The former Kentucky bench boss spent 2 seasons at Memphis, compiling a record of 40-26, including going 21-13 this past season. Also, former Ohio State head man Thad Matta has informed Georgia he is not accepting its head coaching position, according to 24/7 Sports. And according to ESPN, Ole Miss has hired Kermit Davis as its new head coach. Davis has spent the last 16 seasons as the head man of Middle Tennessee, where he accumulated a 332-187 record. Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd says his Eagles showed a lot of character in the face of adversity this season in posting 21 victories. Todd says his team had to do battle in every game after losing its center and the OVC's top rebounder, Tierra McGowan, to a broken leg just 2 games into the conference season.
Yeah, we also lost our starting point guard before the season started in Shante Brown. So considering those two injuries and we had to battle about every night out. A lot of tough, close games. Was very pleased with the overall season.
Under Todd's leadership, the MSU women's basketball team posted its second straight 21-win season. The Morehead State baseball team had doubleheader action today. Yesterday's game with Jackson State was suspended in the fourth inning due to the snow, with the Eagles trailing 4-0. That score remained the same throughout the last five innings today. The loss dropped the Eagles to 7-9 overall. MSU and the Tigers are playing their second game of the day currently. At last check, the Eagles lead that game 5-0 in the fifth inning. A veteran pitcher hopes to be a part of the Cincinnati Reds bullpen when they head north to start the season in a couple of weeks. 36-year-old situational lefty Oliver Perez is trying to make the Reds as a non-roster spring training invitee.
I just want to do whatever I can and to show what I got, no? Because I'm fighting with a spot with my guys because they are on my own team. So I'm just trying to do everything I can and just show what I got, and you know that they are the ones that make the decisions.
Perez has struggled in four exhibition games for the Reds so far. He's given up 7 runs in 3 2/3 innings, also allowing a pair of home runs while striking out 4. Finally, in sports, with his players continuing their conditioning work in advance of spring practices, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier is taking the temperature of another important team matter. Tenier says the time the Eagles spend together lifting weights and running is about more than just getting in shape.
Yeah, this is culture. You know, culture is a 12-month process, and really this is where you start to develop the identity of your football team. You know, so the leadership piece is really important, and obviously the physical development of your players, that's the main focus right now.
The MSU football team's spring practices begin Monday, March the 26th. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Baseball welcomes Belmont for 3 games this weekend, Friday at 3, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 1. Also this weekend, softball hosts the Eagle Classic featuring East Tennessee State, Oakland, and Toledo. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your financial markets report for WMKY. At 325, the Dow Industrial Average had fallen significantly as Boeing shares were under particular pressure on worries that the U.S. could engage China in a trade war. And at 325, the Dow was down 264.73 at 24,742.3. The S&P 500 was down 18.42. at 2746.89, and the NASDAQ composite was down 20.2, not as bad as other averages, currently sitting at 7490.81. Boeing's decline comes after a report that President Trump wishes to slap $60 billion of tariffs on Chinese goods, and investors fear China could target the aerospace giant in retaliation. Utility stocks were winners today, with Utility Select Sector Spider Fund climbing 0.5%. The fund is also on track for its first 5-day winning streak since late November. And, of course, utilities are a proxy for interest rates, and interest rates are down today on the bond market. Yields on the 10-year Treasury bond actually fell to just under 2.81% in New York trading, and this is their lowest level since early March. In economic news, the Commerce Department said retail sales declined for a third straight month as households curbed purchases of cars and other expensive items. Economists had been expecting sales to rise 0.3%, and the Spider S&P Retail ETF fell 0.1%. Meanwhile, U.S. producer prices increased slightly more than expected in the month of February. The Department of Labor said that its producer price index rose by 0.2%, and economists going into the report had expected PPI gaining 0.1% for the month. So-called PPI, which the core PPI, which excludes volatile food and energy and trade service prices, rose 0.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Disney and Cisco. The worst performers were Boeing and Dow DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were TripAdvisor and PayPal, and the worst performers were Signet Jewelers and Envision Healthcare. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global, down 56 cents at 71.12, CSX down 92 cents at 56.56, AEP up 45 cents at 66.49, AK Steel down 26 cents at 4.93, Marathon Petroleum up 23 cents at 69.45, and Anthem was down $1.79 at 228.43. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Morehead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Morehead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
That does it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Leanne Akers, Chuck Mraz, Peyton Stewart, Logan Pemberton, Jacob Lindberg, Sean Delaney, Tilden Johnson, Jack Cottle, and Braxton Howard, along with Haley Hansen, Bud Luke, and Adrian Swain with our feature segment. This is WMKY Moorhead, translator W202BH Inez. All Things Considered is next.